Eastern News. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning, this is the morning news for today, Wednesday, April 24th, 2024, in the headlines.
Top
financial economist and United Workers' Party leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine acknowledges the role of diplomacy for change but highlighted the imperative to review the Salisbury model as an approach for getting tangible results. CDB President Dr. Hyginus Jean Leon has tendered his resignation from the regional financial institution effective immediately after having placed on administrative leave since January of 2024.
News as it happens.
And dozens were arrested at pro-Palestinian rallies at Yale University in Connecticut and New York University in Manhattan on Monday. Amidst tensions from the Gaza conflict spreading to U.S. college campuses. The news is brought to you compliments Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. Details coming up next.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fenced pipe, and Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins, and bidets. PVC piping, fittings, and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
Financial economist and leader of the United Workers' Party, Dr. Thompson Fontaine, has highlighted the prevailing sentiment among many Dominicans that the party should prioritize action over diplomatic channels to effect change, particularly in vocalizing the people's concerns in Dominica. However, he also emphasized the need to revise approaches to achieving tangible results. Dr. Fontaine pointed out to the success of protest actions in Salisbury as a model to consider, underscoring the importance of understanding Dominica's realities as part of formulating effective change strategy.
The reality of Dominica is that, you know, as the people of Salisbury, the most successful protest actions we've seen in the recent past in Dominica has taken place in Salisbury. What has been the result of it? 53 persons in Salisbury are still, before the courts. Live rounds of ammunition were used on the villagers, not once, but twice. People were shot in Salisbury. That is the reality. You know, so yes, we can call people out, but we have to be mindful of that, you know, and people, you know, and sometimes I sit there and I see people saying, you need to be doing, let's deal with the reality that we have in Dominica. You protest, you sit there, peaceful protest, they come, they take you away. All right. That's not what is done here in Dominica. Guys come. Now, can we change that dynamic? Can we change the dynamic of police officers ready to fire on their own people? And that's probably the question we should be asking, if we're going to go that route. But we need to be responsible at the same time. You know, so again, we have to continue to plan MAT for all eventualities. If one plan fails, you work on the other plan. And it's not that. And when I say that we are waiting, it does not mean that we do not have plans for other eventualities. I'm saying that we are working on one option now. When that is exhausted, we go to the other option. But we have to do it deliberately. We have to do it carefully. We have to do it with the support of the masses. You cannot be out there on your own trying to do something without the support of the masses. Let us understand this, Dominic. And I don't know why people are not understanding this. You know, I don't know why all of a sudden after 15 years, all of a sudden we have to do everything in 5 months. You know, we've been at it for 15 years, you know, for goodness sake.
And that was Dr. Thompson Fontaine, leader of the United Workers' Party. The Caribbean Electric Utility Services Corporation hosted its annual Disaster Management Roundtable on Monday aimed at fostering collaboration and enhancing preparedness among disaster coordinators and health and safety officers from member utilities across the Caribbean. The event themed developing adaptive capacity, building resilient utilities, deepening regional and multi-sectoral cooperation in an increasingly volatile multi-hazard environment, served as a platform for sharing insights and fortifying relationships. The Roundtable, which embraced a hybrid format, convened at the CARLEC Secretariat headquarters in Castries, with virtual participation from other locations. Presentations from utilities and partner agencies, including the Caribbean Water and Sewage Association, Inc., highlighted innovative disaster management strategies and the swift restoration of power post-catastrophe. Given the escalating threat of hurricanes, earthquakes, cybersecurity breaches, and other hazards in the Caribbean, devising robust disaster management protocols for electric utilities remains a critical endeavor for CARLEC. Discussions underscored the imperative of sustained regional cooperation and the adoption of multi-layered approaches across various levels, individual, community, organizational, national, and regional, to boost resilience and adaptability. At a recent press briefing, National Security Minister Reuben Blackmore claimed that Dominica's Immigration Department is now processing e-passports without any delays. Blackmore acknowledged the hurdles encountered during the shift from traditional passports to e-passports, which experienced initial processing delays. However, he tweeted the remarkable efficiency of the system, stating that applicants are now receiving their passports within a week of applying, compared to that of the region.
Recently, our Prime Minister had a press conference. I made reference to the steps that were being taken to deal with the whole issue of issuance of passports or e-passport. You may further recall that we had taken a decision as a government to try and to move from the motion readable passport to the e-passport, which is a much more secure travel document, especially in these current times that we are living and where there's a need for us to have a much enhanced passport. We had further taken a decision to stop the usage of the motion readable passport for travel outside of Dominica or to any other destination outside of Dominica as of the 31st of January 2023. That decision still remains. Let me repeat for emphasis, that decision still remains. I want to also take this opportunity to highly commend the head of immigration and the staff members of the immigration department. You may recall that as to the earlier stage of the migration from the motion readable passport to the e-passport, there was a rush. And as a consequence, you had the process time being more prolonged than what previously obtained.
Blackmore emphasized that the government, as a responsible entity, took decisive action to rectify the passport processing challenges at the Immigration Department.
As a responsible government, we ensured that we put systems in place to address that situation. Namely, we hired or employed additional staff. We procured an additional printer. And we had a free system. We had moved from, during the early stage of that migration process, that an application process time taking a couple months. And then we had gotten to a point, because of the system that we had put in place, where applicants were getting the passports after 1 week of application. That happens nowhere in the Caribbean. For a matter of fact, a couple months ago, I went to a ministerial meeting in a neighboring country. And while I was being driven by the driver who was assigned to me, heading to a meeting, I saw a huge crowd hanging out, well, in a line outside a building. So I asked, what was happening? He said to me, Mr. Minister, you people have to come early to get a chance to deposit the application for a passport. And he said to me further, they may leave and not having the opportunity to deposit that passport because the doors might be shut in their faces. We did not do that. We ensured that we put systems in place to address such a situation.
Minister of National Security Reuben Blackmore. The Dominica Nurses Association, DNA, has officially extended condolences to the family, friends, and co-workers of Tracy John Lewis and her baby. The association president, Joanna Blaise Adams, said Nurse John Baptiste was a member of the Dominica Nurses Association and she was highly respected by patients along the length and breadth of the health sector in Dominica.
It is with deep sadness that the Dominican Nurses Association express heartfelt condolences to the family, significant other, friends, classmates, nursing tutors at the Dominica State College, colleagues on Glover Ward and neonatal unit, to the nursing administration, the medical and non-clinical staff whom she worked closely with, the nursing fraternity, and the entire community of Silver Lake on the passing of nurse and colleague Tracy John Lewis and her baby. Recently, Nurse John Lewis became a member of the Dominican Nurses Association. She will be afforded the same courtesies as all members of the Dominican Nurses Association. Nurse John Lewis displayed exemplary behavior when providing care to her patients. She will be greatly missed by the medical and nursing staff. To the family, we mourn with you and pray for your healing through the passage of time, and we are here to support you in any way we can. May her soul and that of the baby rest in God's eternal peace. President of Dominica Nurses Association.
And that was the president of the Dominica Nurses Association, Joanna Blaise Adams. Chairman of the Government Housing Loans Board, Felix Thomas, announced that the Government Housing Loans Board will ensure that on-lending services are available for public officers at reduced interest rates for housing purposes. In recent times, the board also established a revolving fund facility specifically geared towards private home owners.
Well, the Government Housing Loans Board is a body corporate established in 1957 with the sole purpose of providing funding, affordable funding, to public officers who at the time were on the establishment, who were desirous of building homes for themselves and their families. Interest rates, those of you who are of the age like Mr. Blackmore and the senior men of the table would know that when you are to contract a loan from any of the financial institutions, that interest rates was one of the biggest challenges that you had. And that interest rate was at sometimes 15, 17, you know, and even in certain cases, 18%. The Government Housing Loans Board was to be that sort of buffer, but they had to borrow from the banks and on-lend to public officers at a reduced rate, which was still above 11.5% and in some cases 12%. Upon the Labour Party government administration coming in 2000, and with the advent of the austerity measures, and that there were several public officers who had contracted loans under that institution, and the austerity measures that mandated some 5% in reduce of wages, we had the enviable task, so to speak, to seriously consider some reduction and relief to public officers.
Thomas categorized that as an exciting development for private homeowners in Dominica through the EDA project. He spoke at the launch of the fourth component of the EDA project on April 19, 2024.
It was in the year 2018 that a request was made to the Government Housing Loans Board to administer Output 4, as was outlined by Ms. Kelschel, and I would not go to repeat that. All of the components of that output. That is the Green Climate Fund, a revolving fund for private homeowners geared at financing climate adaptive and environmentally friendly domestic projects. Having put all the necessary procedures in place, it was our hope that it would have been plain sailing, but it was not so. On February 26, 2024, we receive a first sum of EC $1.3 million and have already disbursed a total of EC $1.1 million. As I always say that I compliment the staff of the Government Housing Loans Board. They have worked and they demonstrated that following Hurricane Maria as well. That office was maybe the only office or semi-quasi-government office that was never closed. It was like the port, because we realized we had to deal with real situation and the situation of housing. But from the time that that project was initiated, all the preparatory work had been done.
And that was Chairman of the Government Housing Loans Board, Felix Thomas. The 97th meeting of the Board of Directors of the Eastern Caribbean Telecommunications Authority, ECTEL, was held on April 17th and 18th, 2024 in St. Lucia. Alternates, heads of the National Telecommunications Regulatory Commission's NTRCs, NTRC commissioners and observers attended virtually. The chairman of the board, Mr. Philip Dalsu, noted that the governance arrangements of ECTEL requires the board of directors to meet four times a year to be updated on the work of the regional telecommunications regulator. He went on to say, and I quote, "The key items on the discussions were the work plan, an update on the end-of-year financial reports of ECTEL, and updates on some key projects," close quote. The board of directors ensured that the electronic communications sector remains properly regulated and that consumers and investors continue to benefit from an industry liberalized over two decades ago. According to ECTEL's new managing director, Mr. David Cox, the advent of ECTEL and regulations in the telecommunications market has led to significant drops in the prices of telecommunications services. It has led to incredible levels of investment. And of course, you can read more on this story on our website. That's www.q95da.com. In other news, President of the Caribbean Development Bank, CDB, Dr. Hyginus Leon, has tendered his resignation from the regional financial institution, effective immediately. His decision comes after being placed on administrative leave in January. In a three-page letter sent to the bank by his lawyers based in St. Lucia, Leon expressed concerns about fairness and trust within the institution. The letter, dated April 21st, indicated that Leon believed he would not be treated fairly and that the bank had lost trust and confidence in him. His lawyers have given the bank until May 4th to negotiate a mutual separation, with the correspondence serving as a pre-action protocol letter. They also stated their intention to pursue legal action if it becomes necessary. And police arrested dozens of people at pro-Palestinian demonstrations at Yale University in Connecticut and New York University in Manhattan on Monday, as the war in Gaza continued to reverberate through U.S. university campuses. Police crackdowns came after Columbia University cancelled in-person classes on Monday in response to protesters setting up tent encampments at its New York City campus late last week.
Pro-Palestinian protests escalated across top U.S. universities Monday after nightfall, riot police broke up demonstrations at New York University and carried out mass arrests. Hundreds of protesters had defied university orders to leave a plaza where they gathered. They shouted chants, urging NYU authorities to divest from efforts linked to Israel's war effort in Gaza. At New York's Columbia University, police detained several protesters. Earlier in the day, the school cancelled in-person classes to de-escalate tensions after last week's crackdown on a pro-Palestinian protester tent city that saw over 100 students arrested. Ongoing protests in top universities are a response to the escalation of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which began on October 7th with a deadly raid by Hamas Islamist militants into Israel and Israel's fierce response in Hamas-controlled Gaza. Some Columbia faculty, including Professor David Lurie, spoke on Monday against the school suspending students who joined the action.
He demands that all Barnard College and Columbia University suspensions and charges be dismissed immediately. And expunged from the student's records.
Columbia University President Nemat Shafik had denounced anti-Semitic language and harassing behavior that she said had occurred on campus recently. Protesters on Columbia's lawn have given speeches condemning Israel and Zionism and praising Palestinian armed resistance. Officers are posted to Manhattan streets to prevent confrontations between rival groups. Meanwhile, student media at Yale University in Connecticut say at least 45 students were arrested Monday, linked to pro-Palestinian rallies that blocked traffic. Similar protests were seen at Emerson College and at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
That's the morning news, and here's a recap of the headlines. United Workers' Party leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine acknowledges the role of diplomacy for change, but highlighted the imperative to review the Salisbury model
Global
as an approach for getting tangible results.
Station Q95DA.
CDB President Dr. Hyginus Leon has tendered his resignation from the regional financial institution effective immediately after having placed on administrative leave since January of 2024. And dozens were arrested at pro-Palestinian rallies at Yale University in Connecticut and New York University in Manhattan on Monday, amidst tensions from the Gaza conflict spreading to U.S. college campuses.
Right on cue.
The news was brought to you compliments Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. I've been your presenter for this involvement.
Or news as it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.